Welcome to Practical Awakening. In this podcast, I share conscious conversations with incredible women about human design, spirituality, and the practical application of them in your life and in your relationships. I'm your host, Rachel Amy, human design expert, life coach, and yoga teacher from the UK. I believe that we're all spiritual beings, uniquely designed and perfectly placed with such an important purpose. So if you're ready to explore human design, practice deep self-acceptance, and put your spirituality to work, let's get started. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Awakenings. My guest this week is Ryan. Ryan is a 3-5 emotional manifester. She also has 8 defined centers, which I just find fascinating about her. And we talk innocence motivation in real life and what it feels like and what it means to us to be innocence motivation and really carry this kind of no agenda, very personal, very, you know, innocent and delighted and almost naive motivation and conceptualization of the world as we move through life as business owners and of working in other environments and just fitting into society as we know it. Ryan is one of my all-time favorite people. We had so many great conversations about the people we have tried to be in the past, sharing almost parallel anecdotes of all things innocence in our life. We also talk about the transference motivation, which for us as 6th colors is desire, which is the 3rd color motivation, and how when we are conditioned and when we are in the not self and when we are doing what we should be doing, we lock in and laser focus on one thing. And that really is the antithesis of what innocence motivation is all about. I love this episode. I love when Ryan comes to hang out with us and share with us. And I hope you feel how much we love this episode as you listen. So let's dive in. So just before we get into this episode, I wanted to share something really exciting with you. Throughout this episode, I will reference a incredible course that I took called Human Design and Color back in 2021. Human Design and Color is currently enrolling for its 4th round of teaching. It is led by the incredible Allison, and it's been so successful with her incredible 5-1 projector knowledge. So the Human Design and Color is a guided journey through the 4 transformations, determination, environment, view, and motivation that you find in the color variable. I took this course back in 2021, and it not only taught me so much about the color variables, about the 4 transformations, but really helped to deepen my knowledge of the human design system as a whole. So if you're ready to take your human design learning to the next level, to be guided into deeper witnessing and understanding and accepting those deeper parts of yourself, you cannot miss out on this next round of Human Design and Color. Check out the show notes for a discount code. Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much for being back here with me today.
Thank you. I'm so honored. I'm so excited to be here for this episode in particular, but also with your audience. Hello, hello.
Yeah, I'm just so excited. I love being able to chat human design and just life with you. So like, this is going to be a pleasure, I'm sure. And I'm so excited to talk innocence motivation as well. So with the variables, obviously they are a deeper kind of level of human design, and your motivation is found in like your color variable. And in theory, they're stacking, you know, so like once you're living your strategy and authority, and once you're living like in your body, then you can access like your determination and your environment, and then you correctly access your view and your motivation. But I think they also just show up in your life, even as glimpses kind of throughout your life as well. So I'm just going to let you start, Ryan. Like, what does innocence motivation like mean to you?
Oh, wow. So to me, innocence motivation is just being like a kindergarten teacher. I'm from the south of the United States. I'm very blonde. I have been said to be a kindergarten teacher, and I've finally had to lean into that. For so long, I was fighting it. But so for me, innocence motivation is just really like not having an agenda. And I used to really judge the fact that, A, I didn't know I needed an agenda, like specifically if we're talking about like corporate America. And I would show up to meetings, be like, what are we going to talk about? And they're like, no, where's your agenda? I'm like, what? And, you know, finally having to like force myself to like work in this world of like other people that don't have this innocent motivation really helped define it for me. So it's like not having an agenda, just being there to show up, not necessarily to have fun, but just showing up. I don't even think I have the motivation to have fun. It's just like, I'm here. What about you? What does it mean for you?
Yeah, I think it's similar. And like, I explain it a lot. It's just like childlike delight, just like the delight of just like being alive and just being in life. And like you said, like there is no motivation, realistically, in innocence motivation. Like there is no agenda, there's no intention. Like you're not here to kind of do anything specifically or lead in a specific way. Like it really is just kind of showing up and being kind of like in your life. And just like you say, like it's not about, I'm not going a route to have fun. Like I'm just enjoying like being alive and doing things like regardless of what they are. And I think that like kindergarten teacher analogy is like pretty spot on. But I've really noticed the same like everywhere in life. Like you're told like you're meant to have an agenda. You're meant to know what you're doing. You're meant to like have a future goals and you're like meant to have plans and you're following it. And I'm just really like every day like, I'm just going to do these things, you know, and there's like, there's some foresight, obviously, to what I'm doing, but it never goes very far because my brain just doesn't work that way. Like, do you have the ability to kind of like plan into the future very far?
That's such a great question. And well, first, I have a Capricorn moon and a lot of Capricorn signs, like my Saturn is Capricorn. And I, in my previous life, like back in corporate America and working in higher education, I was an event planner. So, or I worked with events. So I really like planning. But that's fun for me. Like I love to plan. I love to like watch people pack on YouTube. It's such a strange thing, but I love it so much. However, I don't plan necessarily for myself. This is like something in the future for like all of us. I also have a lot of community gates or tribal gates and so channels. So I like to, you know, plan for that. But for me, it's just kind of floating around. And I like, so right now as we're recording this, you know, I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan, but I am on the Taylor Swift TikTok all about Midnight and her releasing her albums and just watching her with these Easter eggs, with these like messages she hides in for her fans, I'm just like, I don't have that in me. I don't have it in me to like pre-plan this like huge thing and like hide secrets in lyrics. I used to think it was because I wasn't smart and I was like, I'm not smart enough for that, or I'm not smart like to have street smarts. And it's like, no, it's just not how I work, because that just seems exhausting. I just want to show up and like do my thing and not have to like plan every little like, I'm going to wear this color to like this. And then 7 songs later, I'm going to bring that up again. I mean, I love it. I love watching it and experience it, but definitely not for me.
Yeah. And I think that's so true because like innocence motivation is inherently personal. You know, like it's very much about you. It has this kind of like sixth line detachment kind of to it because it is like the sixth color motivation. And it is all about us, but really in like a selfish way, but like a really childlike kind of delightful selfish way. You know, like we're just not really thinking about other things. And I feel the same. Like if I'm going on vacation, like I love to plan, like what am I going to eat? You know, what am I going to pack? Like where are we going to go? Like all of those fun things. But like if you ask me what I'm going to do in 2 years, like I don't know. Like I'm just kind of living life now and I'll just keep living life until I live life then. And I think innocence motivation has this really kind of like naive energy to it and is like judged as like naive and like kind of stupid, you know, by like outside people. But this is just who we are. Like we're just right now and that's all we can do. And also there is so much beauty in that. I'm like, if everybody could just be a bit more like right here, because like you say, it feels relaxing to me. And obviously it probably thus doesn't feel relaxing to everybody, but it is really relaxing to just be in life. And I think that's what like innocence motivation is. It's like this real embodiment of just like beingness with no agenda.
I find it so funny you bring up like being naive, because I am known in so much of my family of being super gullible. And I really think it's more of the fact that if I trust you, then I'm just going to believe you. And so, for example, I mean, there's so many of these, but like, I'm an only child, so I would spend a lot of time with my mom, and we would have planes flying, you know, and you would see the chemtrail or whatever. And I'd be like, Mom, where is that plane going? And they're like, she's like, it's going to Florida. And then I'm like, where's that one going? And she's like, Pennsylvania. And what's so funny is those were the only two places I'd ever been, because my grandparents had like houses in each. And then literally I was maybe like 16 years old. I was like, why are they always going to Florida and Pennsylvania? Because I never like, I think about things. I've read theory. You know, I love that stuff. But like, if someone just tells me something and it sounds right, I'm just going to be like, yeah, I believe you. Like, why would you lie to me? And then so many things like that. So it's like, yeah, I need to like, in one way, kind of like really think about what people are saying. Because sometimes I'm just like, yeah, I'll just take it at like face value. And the other times it's like, well, this is who I am. I don't need to like really dive deep that much.
Yeah, I could have literally told that story. Like that happens to me all of the time. And I think like my boyfriend thinks it's a joke. So he'll tell me something. And I'm like, really? He's like, no. Why would you? I'm like, well, you told me I love you. I trust you. I just assumed that it was right. But I think it's always like inconsequential things. Like if it's something that's big and it impacts the world and everything, like I think about those things twice. But like things that make no difference in my life, I just like accept as truth if it comes from somebody that I trust. And one of my favorite ones is in England. I don't know if we have it in the US, but there's a saying that said that something fell off the back of a lorry, which obviously in the UK is a truck, right? And my whole life, like as a child and even as a teenager, I was like, it's so weird how much stuff just like falls off the back of a truck. And I was like, I've never seen boxes like on the side of the road. I was like, what, do people just stop their cars and just like pick it up? Like, why isn't it broken? Like, how is it not damaged? And one day, I kid you not, like I was like 23 when it hit me and it was like, all that stuff's stolen, Rachel. And I was like, how did it take me so many years to come to that conclusion? When quite clearly it did not fall off the back of a lorry. But I think that's probably an innocence motivation thing. Like if it doesn't impact our lives, we just accept it. And not even the fact that we accept it, like I just never thought about it again. Well, that one I did, but most things I never think about again. You know, that one I clearly took a lot of thought into before I came to the conclusion. But I feel like because we don't have an agenda, because we're not trying to like figure things out and make a specific impact, or like there is no set intention for our lives, I think things like that happen a lot because we're just like living life. We're like, oh, fell off the back of a lorry. How strange.
I totally. And yes, we have the same saying and I probably believe the same thing. And I think you're right. Like big events, of course, I'm going to research mainly because like I'm interested in it. But if it doesn't have like a big part of my life, you're right. It's not like I even really accept it. It's just like, well, that's it. Like, that's it. And just kind of like it washes away. And then it's forever in my mind. It's just so, so dumb. Like my friend was pre-diabetic as a teen and like went to a endocrinologist or whatever. And they're like, you can only have 30 grams of carbs, you know, for lunch. And she was a teen. And I was like, oh, well, that means I can only have 30 grams of carbs for my lunch. And I was still kind of like, I wasn't following it, but I was like vaguely like, oh, this has 30 grams of carbs. That's kind of a lot. And then it was like 10 years ago. And I was like, Mary, you know, there's so many carbs in all these things. And she's like, Ryan, that was for a teenager and someone who's pre-diabetic. That is not you. And I'm like, oh yeah, that isn't me. But it's just like sometimes with that stuff, it's like, why do I just like listen? But again, it's just innocence. If someone tells me that I care about, I'm just going to listen.
Yeah.
And it for all those out there listening who have loved ones with innocent motivation, it is an honor. And you have to truly be kind to them because they're going to believe what you say.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting, though, because it's like I wouldn't say I'm not like. And I'm assuming most innocence motivation people, like, I'm not easily manipulated. Like, I can't be kind of like, you know, shaped and changed to do, like, especially being a manifestor too, like what others want me to do. But I do have that, like, again, just like childlike naivety. I'm like, well, fell off the back of a lorry. Oh, 30 grams of carbs, you know, like, and I think it's so sweet to be able to have that, but it's really not valued in life at all, you know? And I think, as like you start, all kids start very innocent, don't they? And very naive and just living their life and just being who they are. And then you get conditioned out of that. And most people have a different motivation. You know, they are motivated to find the right information or like to see who's winning and who's not, or to get the things that they desire. And that, I think, comes into play a lot in kind of like corporate and just career and entrepreneurialism, and all those other kind of like quote unquote adult things. Whereas there isn't really a space for society as we know it for innocence motivation. And I think that's why it's one of the ones that's a little harder to kind of reclaim, like, you know, especially post Saturn return, because it doesn't fit with everything we know about kind of succeeding in life almost.
So true. And I really feel that. And actually, my experience as a child, I mean, I think it's also like an emo manifester and a 3-5, but I'm still so earnest, but I was just like a lot of emotion on my sleeve. My family didn't value that, didn't appreciate it. And I was seen as weak or silly. And so I really pushed all that down. And again, like, I bring this up because it's so important to my life, but like, now it's not, but like, I was very blonde and looked very young. And back then, like, dumb blonde jokes were such a thing, and it would really hurt my feelings. And people were like, you're so dumb. And I knew I wasn't dumb, and I never wanted to be seen as dumb. And so, and I also have a Scorpio moon. So I was like, I'm going to be tough. I want to be punk. And I do like love, like, I grew up with the Clash and the Sex Pistols. So I was like really connecting to it, but I looked so innocent. And so I, you know, in high school, I was really angry and I was like, I'm going to be alternative. I'm going to be punk and no one's going to mess with me. And it actually was right before my Saturn return and after, when I finally just started to embrace it. And I was like, you know what? No matter how much eyeliner you put on me, no matter how many spikes I wear, I'm going to look like this. I'm going to be earnest. I'm not, even when angry, I was just like a really earnest person. And it's not recognized. It's not like, quote unquote, welcome in our society, but like, it's who I am. So I'm going to embrace it. And honestly, it was so helpful to do that because I could see how it was helpful even in the corporate world, because I was kind of like the team spirit, and people just called me kind of like the cheerleader. And like, back in high school, I would have just like died if someone called me a cheerleader, you know, but I was like leaning into it. I'm like, yeah, I decorate offices for like birthdays and I like celebrate people. And so I think people do need it. They just don't want to need it, or they don't, it's kind of like quote unquote woman's work, where it's so valuable that you would miss it so much if it's gone. And but people don't look for it. Like I've left a job, like, I don't know, it's been over 10 years, and people are like, we still do the things that you like initiated, you know, we still like have these parties the way you did it. And it's like, yeah, because this is important. People need to appreciate it.
So yeah, it's so like needed, but just completely undervalued, because I think, again, we're talking about capitalism and the world and society. It's like, you can't put a price on what innocence motivation brings, apart from like pure like delight and joy of just living and being alive. And I had a really similar experience in kind of like my different way. Like, I was the same. Like, I'm always like, you know, I look younger, I look very innocent, like I always have done. So people kind of treat me that way too, because I'm also like 5'2". Like, I have the stature of like a 12-year-old. So like, it doesn't demand respect as I like wander through the world. So I've always been like, you know, I'm mean and I'm tough and I don't need this. And, you know, like really doing that, like, I'm going to show that I'm like big and strong or whatever it was. And then it was probably only a couple of months ago that I was said to my boyfriend, I was like, people always think that I'm like so friendly. And I'm like, why? Like, people are always like, oh my God, you're so friendly, you're so easy to get on with. And in my brain, I'm like, I'm not trying to do that. Like, why do they all say this? So I came to the conclusion, and I said to Sean one day, I was like, maybe I am friendly. You know, maybe I'm just going to try that out in the world, you know? And I think that's obviously been the energy that I've been putting out, but like trying to put some sort of like, you know, big, strong armor on it. And since then, I've just like been friendly and just like all the time. And I think it is just like, living out that kind of innocence motivation, like just smiling at people and like talking to people, like not that I love that, but sometimes if they talk to me, I talk back. And then I did come to the conclusion with Sean, I was like, maybe I am actually friendly, you know? And I think part of that was being able to reclaim that part of myself that didn't seem valuable before. And almost like, it's vulnerable, isn't it? Like, I can't protect myself if I'm just going to be out in life and be delighted. Like, especially being emotional definition too, like that opens me right up to like disappointment when things don't go the way my little innocent motivation mind thinks it will or it should.
I actually am so glad you brought it up because I forgot to put this on my notes. But I literally just this past week, 2 weeks ago, I decided that I have been disappointed so much. Just I think just from being earnest and an innocent motivation and in the emotional wave that it I can believe in myself, but some things I'm just like, it's too hard. It's too vulnerable. And then I decided, I was like, you know what? That's not how I want to live my life anymore. Not that I'm even like doing it on purpose, right? It's just kind of like in the back of my head. And I was like, I'm going to embrace radical hopefulness and radical courage. And just within this past couple weeks, I've really seen a difference. And I bet it's very similar to how once you've like accepted your friendliness, the world kind of opened up for you. So do you feel different now that you've just kind of like, I'm going to be friendly. This is who I am. But you're more than that, but you're also that.
Yeah, I think it does feel different, but purely because like I'm not cutting myself off, you know, like every time I was trying to go out with this like hard exterior, I wasn't allowing myself to be fully me, which was obviously creating resistance and creating anger and all these other things that I was, you know, turns out was doing intentionally. Whereas it's not like I go out and I'm like, I'm going to be friendly today. Like I'm just going out and just reacting to the situations. You know, if someone talks and I feel like talking back, I talk back. You know, if an old lady looks at me, I'm going to smile. And because those things feel good, you know, so I think it's just allowing myself to be more naturally who I am and not resisting that through who I think I should be, or like you say, like that like vulnerability. And I've definitely had that journey too, like being so disappointed with the world and just everything that happens, and thus trying to avoid the disappointment and just creating a really miserable life for myself, and having to find that place of like things can be disappointing, but they can also still be delightful like at the same time. You know, it doesn't have to be one or the other. Like I can have both experiences whilst sitting in that disappointment.
That's so funny. Yes, that's so fascinating. If you're an innocent motivation, like tap in. I want to know if you also tried to be this like hardcore punk badass, because from our seat, both of us have. That's so funny. I think that it takes a lot of effort to keep smiling during the hard, heavy times. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's hard for an emotional wave person, and to keep up this innocence motivation. So it also makes me think like, you know, we are stepping into this fully as ourselves, and we must need to like even more self-care, like even more protect ourselves, but like nourish ourselves, because it is hard in this world that does not appreciate it.
Yeah, I think the word replenish probably like comes to mind, you know, like because especially if you're emotional, like you are going to have the lows. But I think again, with that innocent motivation, like it's allowing yourself to be in the low and also just be there, you know, like there's this whole theme of just beingness without trying to control yourself or your experience or life. And know that in those times, you need extra nourishment and extra replenishment and extra care, because yeah, it is, life is really tough, you know? And I think if you have a different way of kind of conceptualizing the world, I'm thinking like third line particularly, like you're there to conceptualize the things that go wrong, you know, and how to make them go right and how to get those things that you want. But with the sick motivation, like you're really not, like you're conceptualizing life just through you being in it. And there is, it feels like almost no filter, which, you know, when life's good is beautiful, but when life's tough kind of opens you up to like a little bit more that could possibly, you know, like leave scratches on your life.
Totally. That's such a good point. I do very much. I am an energy healer, and it's very easy to like go down that like spiritual bypassing positivity, toxic positivity. And I don't, I always sit, I always tell my clients, you know, we got to sit with it. And that's a really great point to like, that's what innocence does as well. You just kind of like, you got to sit with it. And maybe I also kind of think of my innocence motivation as like, I get to be a little kid in maybe a ways that I wasn't as a kid, you know? And so it's like, well, how would I have wanted to like handle this? Or how would I have wanted it to be handled? And so I do it that way. It's like, yeah, it does suck. It does suck. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to like sit with it. And it's just like, and you don't have to like be happy, and you don't have to like put on for someone else. So I think that's a really great point.
Yeah, I feel like we're just like having the same conversation on either side here, because I had that conversation with a client the other day who's going through some like really rough family things. And she was like looking for strategies and things to do. And I was like, sometimes life is just really shit. Like that's just the way it is. And you just have to let it be shit, knowing that it's not going to be shit forever. But right now it's shit, you know, and I think part of that innocence motivation when it's not so good is like the way I describe it is like wait around in all that shit for a while. Like, you know, don't drown in it. Don't like lay down and give up, but just let life be really shitty, because sometimes it is. And I think without letting it be shitty, it's never going to get better. You know, like if, cause like you say, we can't just ignore where we're at, because it is this really intense, like embodiment of being. And that goes with being in the shitty stuff as well as when it's good. So like thinking about a kid, like, you know, when your day goes wrong as a kid, or like your life's ruined, isn't it? Like it's over, like you drop your ice cream, like that's it, you're done. Like that's the worst day of your life. Like allow yourself to experience that, you know, like let it be really, really shit, knowing that you're an adult and you do have coping strategies and you will get better and there will be perspective. But like right now, just let it be shit. Just let it be shit.
That's so funny. Yes. It is the worst thing. I actually recently had, what even happened? Something happened to me where it was, I think it was ice cream related. And then like something happened and it spilled and I cried about it. And I was like, you know what? It's fine. This is awful. This is the worst thing that's happened to me at this moment right now. Speaking about kind of the worst thing and letting yourself be in that bog of shit, are you someone who's like really into silver linings? Because I feel like I am someone who always see, I'm also 35, but I always see silver linings. I always share it with folks. And I've realized that maybe that's not always helpful for people, but it is for me.
Yeah, I see silver linings in literally everything. And I think like I deal with life through humor. So I'm always like, oh, well, at least, you know, like this happened. And it's the same. Like, I think I've got much better now of kind of reading the room and being like, is this the right time to share the silver lining? Or like, should I maybe just like keep that to myself? Because I think in those moments where you are really hurt, no matter what it is, you don't necessarily want to hear the silver lining, because, you know, we're all logical. We know that there are good things when bad things happen. But I think when people are kind of coming out of it a little bit, then I'm like, okay, like now silver lining time. Now I can share it. Because I feel even in my life, like when I'm like at the bottom of that kind of like bog, I know there is a silver lining, but I am completely uninterested in hearing its existence, you know? And as we begin to kind of rise out of it, then I'm like I say, well, at least this happened, you know, or like, at least we had a fun adventure, or at least we know never to do that again. But I think learning when is the right time to share those is the most important piece.
That's, yes, I love that. And I wonder, that's so funny. I wonder if it's like an innocent motivation thing, because so many of my friends, they just like, they call me like Miss Silver Lining, because it's just something I always bring to the table. But I have in the past few years have been like, okay, when's the right time for this? Just mm-hmm. like you said. Yeah. Innocence motivation, it's just so fascinating. And I wonder, I want to talk about business in with this. Do you have anything you want to start off with?
I feel like I'm figuring out how to like make this and business go together, because And I feel like in so much of my chart as well, like it's just about really being in things and being in experiences. And it's how do we simultaneously like be where we're at and have that like really beautiful kind of like naivety and joy of like childlike innocence of existence, and also have that kind of like future planning and seeing where we're going. And especially like being an entrepreneur, like there is sales and there is strategy and there are all these things, and like learning how to make those go together. Also knowing that like with the pressure of like you have to pay your bills, for me, like that pressure, especially with my like undefined route, like knocks me right out of that motivation, like really, 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 really quick. So it's not something I figured out yet, apart from just, you know, to like innocence motivation, not plan and just be and see what happens. How about you? Where are you at on that journey?
Yeah, I feel you. Like I used to tell folks that even not being an entrepreneur, I was like, I just want to show up and like people ask me questions and that's how I get paid. Like I would love to like be a like an idea consultant outside of like my energy healing business, because I would just love to people just to like, let me pay you lots of money and you just like speak with no plans, just like what happens. And that's also how I like to do my energy healings. I like to know very little beforehand and just kind of like work with the moment. But, you know, not everyone works that way. And I like structure. I like to know what's going to happen, especially like if I'm investing in something. So it's kind of this balance of like, I think I work best, you know, showing up this way, and also other people need more, and balancing that. And also, you know, balancing the whole business side too, because would love to just show up and like things happen. But it's like, no, I have to create like sequences and put lots of thought into it. Like I've been meaning to set up a nurture sequence for when folks put their email into my website and then they receive a freebie, and then, you know, maybe there'll be like 3 or 4 emails that they get like every other day or something. And I've like had all this stuff and like I'm basically there. I just have to set it up. But something in me is just like, I don't know, like I can't get to it. And I wonder if it's kind of this like putting so much motivation. And also sometimes like I also have, I can't remember what my incarnation cross is off the top of my head, but it's like people call it like the sacred salesman. So they're like, you're so good at selling, but I don't feel good at selling. But maybe it's because I'm thinking of it in this very like typical capitalism way. But so I get tied up where it's kind of like, here are some like tips on how to sell and like do that in these like email sequences. And it's like, but maybe I just don't. Maybe that's not me. Maybe I'm innocent. Maybe there is no motivation, because I don't like to have inner motivation. It also makes me feel icky sometimes. But also, you got to sell, and selling isn't icky. So it's very much kind of a conflict. This is also my first business, like being like a business person. And, you know, before I was in higher education, and like students had to talk to me, like they had to read my emails, they had to do all these mm-hmm. things. Like I didn't have to make something sound sexy or like make them click their emails. They wouldn't study abroad if they didn't read my emails. That was as sexy as it got. So I think, you know, it's really putting things in a different perspective for me.
Yeah. And I think for me, a lot of my like completely open heart comes into it, you know, because it feels like having to prove myself, and it feels like having to prove my value and prove my worth. And that is just like the thing I hate to do more than anything else in the world. And I think, yeah, a lot of it comes from like trusting the timing, I think, and like trusting in, you know, the things you have to say. And also I kind of think from like just from this conversation and us both sharing, like, innocence motivation people like probably need outside support, like, you know, whether it's a, you know, a sales team or like, you know, extra like VA help or anything, like that's probably something we need, because we really don't have that agenda, like we don't have that intention of like what we're doing or where we're going. So we probably just need to invite others in to really support us in that particular part of our experience.
That's so funny you say that, because one of my favorite ways to sell And this is not like a tactic. It's like to tell people, you can do this yourself because you can. Like, I will give you all the ways to do it. But if you're looking for support, that's, you know, you can use me. And I said that working with someone, I was kind of like, you don't need us. And then the person I partner was like, but you do need us. This isn't any. And I was like, but you don't really. Because it just, I have this like, you're right. Help would be good. I think it's also just kind of like figuring out how to fit into the world we live in. But, you know, maybe post-capitalism or like, you know, capitalism adjacent, mm-hmm. maybe it'd be different. Maybe people will be like, oh, you know, it's so refreshing to like see you and experience you. And yeah, that's such an interesting thought.
Yeah. And I think that comes again, like with innocence motivation and being that sixth line. And it has this kind of theme of like sitting on the fence, you know, which one is this like detachment from agenda, like this side or that side, like no big deal. But also with that sixth line, like you've seen the previous five lines and we're looking over to what's coming. So I think when we talked about silver lining, like we're like, oh, well, we can see everything that's gone and we can kind of see what's coming. And I think that probably makes a lot of sense in business too, because we can see all the things that have been done, but there always is this kind of inkling towards like what's coming, you know, like what's next. And though we can't name it and we can't hold it and put, you know, any sort of like material to it, like there is almost always this kind of like push towards, well, like what's coming. And I feel, especially with the way you and I do business, like it really is moving towards like what's coming, you know, and moving away from, you know, the sales that have been or can be like, you know, very toxic and very like self-serving in the past, to offering the services of like, hey, like this is a really great thing, like you'll love it, you know, like, and not having to go with everything else, even though I know like psychologically and stuff that that makes sense. Something I really, really wanted to discuss too was like the transference of motivation and learning the transference of desire and really what it meant helped me understand innocence so much more and really embrace it. So like your transference for your motivation is like the opposite line. So like 1 and 4, 2 and 5, 3 and 6. So for us sixth line color motivations, our transference is the third line, which is desire. And it is obviously based on getting the things that you want. But the third line motivation has this like lock in kind of like idea to it. Like you lock in on one thing and then you don't stop until you get it. And that's how like third line desire really moves through the world. And I studied with Alison Forsyth for her HD in color, and she describes a transference as like dumb motivation. So like whereas third line desire have this really beautiful and like powerful desire and locking in to get the things that they want, we have like the really dumbed down version of it. So like we do it, but it doesn't work out for us. And that for me, like, has summed up so many of my like life experiences that have ended up going horribly wrong, because I have always like found that one thing that I wanted, I locked in, and then I didn't stop until I got it. And every single time it ended up horribly. Like none of them went well. Is that something you've experienced? Like, do you see that transference a lot too?
Yes. So I recently learned that, you know, that transference is kind of the opposite way. How do I say this? Like if you're trying to manifest something, you don't want to tap into your transference. Mm-hmm. And so ours is a desire. And it's like, okay, how do I not desire something, but I want to desire it because I want this thing. And I have felt like when I want something so bad, it's when I don't get it. But it's also like, but I want it. Like, and so it's very conflicting for me. And I can't remember the other name of it, but I learned that through Holly Marie, that so the transference is kind of like how not to do it, but how I need to do it is through something else, and mine is security. Do you know what that is?
No.
Yeah, sorry guys. But so I'm trying to like, how can I tap into this through security and not desire? And that's been helpful, but it's just still something I'm like really working on, because I want it. You know? And I think what's helpful is to like plan big and have like lots of different mm-hmm. goals and not focus on it. And it's making me realize that like my bucket list for the past couple of years have been like really focused on a few things. And it's like, I still haven't showed up yet. And I'm still trying to do you have some advice for like how to innocently want something without holding on too tightly?
Yeah. And I think what you just said kind of really summed it up. So it's like, if you don't have, like, if your transference is desire, it's not about not having desires, because obviously you're a human being, right? You have desire. There are things that you want. There are things that we think are going to make our life better. But I think, like you said, it's like really widening like the funnel of like the things that you might possibly want. You know, if you think about innocence, motivation, and being an embodiment, it's not focused on anything. You know, and really be able to see like, yes, I desire this, but I also would like this, and this is great, and all these other things that are really going on at life in life. And like you said, like having that big picture of the things that we want. And I think you can desire things and you can focus on things, because, you know, again, if we don't focus on anything, nothing gets done. But like desire transference has this like laser focus where it's like, that is the only thing that I'm thinking about. And that is the only thing that I'm moving towards. And I will not stop until I get it. And you can get it, like I said, but it's not going to work out very well. And you're going to end up kind of like in the not self. And I know I find transference, and the same a distraction for like your view and perspective too, is the way I think I should be. Like, I feel like I should focus on something, and that's how you get what you want. I should laser focus and do it. And I'm possibility view, so I feel like I should focus on what is actually probable, you know, and what I can do, not what is possible in all things. So I notice myself, and this happens a lot in business, focusing on like the things I think I should be doing. And that quite often is when I'm in transference or when I'm in like the distraction, and I have to come back to be like, okay, well, we don't have to laser focus on that one thing. Like, what else kind of is going on? And like you said, really zoom out, because innocence and sick line, you think about on the roof, like it is this big kind of zoomed out vision. But it's also the hardest thing. I was thinking about this walking my dogs today. Like, how can you desire something so much? And I know that when I quit caring, everything just like falls into my lap. But quitting caring about the things that feel like they're going to make such a huge impact on your life is the most difficult thing. And I don't feel like there is a right answer to figure out how. I'm sure somebody will claim there is, but I haven't found a correct answer to figuring out how, apart from that kind of like zooming out, if that makes sense.
This is so, so needed, because I'm currently in a launch for in my business, and I'm hyper focused, and like that's all I'm focusing on, and like this is what I want from it. And it's like, okay, how can I make this wider and also not have too much motivation like behind it? I mean, have motivation, but you know, it is so fascinating. I also think, you know, in our society, we, like you said, like we have to go after that one thing, and it's kind of beautiful to be like, let's widen it. Mm-hmm. Something else, when I try to like call things in and like dream, I'm not a detailed person, even though my chart says I'm like a specific manifester and I should like have the details. I keep that innocent motivation, because I'm like, I don't know what it's gonna be like. I don't know what's gonna excite me the most, or like I'm trying to figure out a new place to live, and it's like, well, I don't want to say I want to live here, here, here. It's like, this is how I want to feel, and this is how I want to be surprised. So I think that's being helpful too, like once you gave that kind of like structure and putting like my own thoughts into it.
Yeah. And I think with that kind of like zooming out thing, like when you're launching, obviously that is your focus. And I think especially as an entrepreneur, it's not allowing yourself to drown in it, you know? And I think something that you see in like all innocence motivation people, and I know something that you and I have really connected on, is like the things that we do for fun, which everyone else thinks are like cute and old lady, you know, like gardening and like embroidering and like doing crafts and stuff. And I think even that, like knowing, okay, like during my work hours, I'm going to focus on this, but after, I'm going to go outside, I'm going to work on my garden, I'm going to make something beautiful. And I think all innocence motivation people that I know, and like stereotypically innocence motivation people love to like sit around and craft, and I think it's about like we have this need to like make beautiful things regardless of like how that shows up in your life.
I love that. Also, should we start like an innocence motivation like knitting club? That's so cool. I also think for me, I just love connecting to those like slower things. And I think with innocence motivation, you know, it is like, again, being a little bit softer. At least for me, when I grew up, I was very into crafts. Like that's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid, you color. And so actually when I color now as an adult, I hate adult coloring books. They're like really intricate and small. And it's like, no, I don't want to color like that. That
actually so limiting.
Yeah. Like, let me do what I want. So I just buy like regular kid coloring books. And so I wonder if, you know, it's also like tapping back into kind of like maybe the fun you had as a kid or kind of how you were raised to experience this like childhood, even if it might have been a little challenging. Maybe it was like through baseball or like collecting cards.
Yeah. And I think it's, again, it, like if you think about creating beautiful things, you know, and that can be a collection, that can be a network of people, you know, like this can be where you go and you meet the same friends and you drink coffee, like that can be your beautiful thing. But I think for innocence motivation, like the more we can focus on those things that we are creating beauty in the world, and then obviously doing the other, like, you know, capitalistic focus things that we have to do, but knowing that that isn't who we are. And I love that you said like that slower pace of life. And again, that speaks to the sixth line, doesn't it? And that like being kind of more aloof and being stepped back and really observing life and kind of having this idea of like, I've seen all that, done all that, really not a big deal, guys. Like, we're not running out of time. Like, you can just like take it slow and make these beautiful moments in your life and make them important.
Oh my gosh, you're like starting to make me cry. This is like my whole thing. I, you know, as an energy healer, I really care about living slowly because I've lived not slowly for so long and it burnt me out and it was exhausting. And part of my 3-5 thing here is to like help people support them through burnout, unlearning this rest stuff, like unlearning like productivity. And you're right, like once we are on that like sixth line and we're looking and we're like, yeah, the softness is kind of great. I was talking to my mom about, I was like reading some copy for my lunch and I was like, it said something about, you know, the soft life you crave. And she was like, well, maybe not everyone craves a soft life. And I'm like, everyone should crave, like, I'm pretty, like, even if they don't realize it, like that's, unless you're like an adrenaline junkie, but like soft is different for everyone. And maybe soft for you is like jumping out of planes. Not me. I have a fear, but it's so... I think the innocence, like, it's just kind of like a soft, to me, how I see it in my head, like, energetically, it's kind of soft, it's kind of playful, it's really, like, it's not pranks, like, it's not that, for me, it's not, that's not how I see it energetically, it's not like Jackass or Johnny Knoxville, it's more
no
like,
way.
It's just, it's really soft.
Yeah. And I think you said, like, even if you are an adrenaline junkie and even if you love jumping out of planes and doing all of this, like, in between those things, you need moments of softness. You know, like, your body can't be, like, adrenalized all the time because you will die. Like, that's just it, you know? Like, you can't have that much adrenaline in your body. And even if you're innocence motivation and you love those things, like, finding those moments of softness in between, which you will have because you have to have, and really what they mean to you. And I think, yeah, it's just like, it's just about bringing that beauty and saying like, kind of like what I have in this moment is enough. You know, it's about this, like not wanting, like not desiring more, knowing that each moment is kind of like perfect as it is. And that there is reasons to be delighted here. Even if those, like, even if it's shitty, like there's a reason to kind of like be here and be all in life. Yeah, I feel like this conversation has just really helped me understand my innocence motivation, like even more. And the way that we've just been like paralleling stories the whole time has just been the coolest thing.
Totally. And something that you just made me think about is something that I struggle with is, or have in the past, is kind of, you know, that capitalistic mindset that's ingrained in all of us. So like, we have to keep chasing something, you know, once you get it, you got to keep chasing. Cause like, you know, there's no time to celebrate. You have to keep going. And that's something that's huge in my practice, is to like, no, let's pause. Let's celebrate. Celebration is a huge value of mine. And I think, you know, that's a big part of this innocence motivation. And maybe that's something that like we are here to help folks do, is to help release and move off of this like pipeline to like stress and burnout, because we have to start celebrating and we have to like really appreciate where we've come from and like being in those moments. So yeah, love innocence motivation. Like, wouldn't change my punk angry past, but I'm glad I'm here now.
Yeah, we all had to get here somehow, didn't we?
Yeah, and we probably wouldn't appreciate it as much if we didn't have that, like, I gotta be tough and the world can't hurt me. And now I, like, cry over every commercial. And it's just, like, I just let myself.
Oh, my gosh. I went into a store the other day, and they had so many of these cute, like, it was by the seaside, like, nautical animals. There was, like, an octopus and, like, a squid. And, like, honestly, I cried. It was, like, they're just so cute. And I've been in that store, like, 5 or 6 times. But that day, those animals were just the most adorable thing.
That's so funny.
So as we wrap up this episode, what is your favorite, like, innocent motivation thing that you're spending your time on right now?
Ooh, I love that. I think really, you know, I'm someone in my practice, I really care about nature and the seasons. And so I like to tune into the seasons. And right now, you know, we're in the beginning of September. We're in late summer, according to traditional Chinese medicine. And so I was trying to figure out, like, you know, the days are starting to get darker, like they're shorter. And what's something that I really want to do to, like, honor this time and like soak it in. And so for me, it was, I call it tea time. I wanted it to rhyme, but it's nothing special. And so at the sunset, I have a tea and I just kind of sit and like watch the sun and get eaten alive by mosquitoes, even with like bug spray. And I just sit and I just kind of like embrace the present moment. And I think that's actually a huge innocent motivation thing. And I think I might, after this convo, because it was so good, think about my desires in a more broad scope. And now that I kind of know that, kind of be like, what do I want all around? So it's not just like such a small pinhole like focus. What about you?
Yeah. So I'm already like forward planning for Christmas, and I've started like crafting Christmas things. So I'm crocheting like axolotl toys right now.
I don't know what that is.
Axolotl. It's like a little semi-aquatic salamander. Oh, so like yes, you yes, Google yes. them. They like smile. They're really cute. So yeah. I'm currently crocheting axolotl toys for Christmas presents.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
For people that love axolotls, by the way, this isn't just like everyone's getting an axolotl. Like, these people love axolotls. And then I have a little embroidery that I'm doing as well. So it's just, yeah, creating beautiful things.
I love that. And like, there's just like a reminder to folks.
Thank you for listening to Practical Awakening. Like, I know there are thousands of podcasts out there, and I'm so grateful to have shared this episode with you. Check out the show notes for all links from today's episode. If you loved what you heard, screenshot and share this episode on social media. Be sure to tag me so I can repost.
Like, you don't need to sell it. I mean, if you need money, of course, do whatever you have to do. But there's beauty in that innocence motivation to just make something because you want it. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat to us again. It's always my favorite to have you here.
I'm so happy. I love talking to you. You're so smart. You have so much wisdom. And like, I shouldn't be shocked, but we have such similar but different stories. And it just goes to show that like, there's so much themes, even with people like across the world kind of from you. It's fascinating.
Yeah. It's the thing with human design, isn't it? It's like, it hasn't failed to be true yet. Like, I'm waiting,
yes.
But every time it's been true.
So true.